If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. May we be blessed in the hearing of God's good news. Pray with me, please. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, it is hard for us to hear the words that are in this book. Sometimes it is hard for us to take them in and to understand them. But we ask with the aid of your Holy Spirit, the teacher that you promised who would walk alongside with us, that these words, hard as they are sometimes, may be opened to us. And we may see in them what you have promised us, a way that leads to you, a way that draws us more and more into your life. So may that Spirit be among us this morning, and may we be guided into all truth as we seek you, as Jesus your Son taught us to do. Amen. Behold is a word with gravity, isn't it? I was going to tell a joke, but it's not exactly the most appropriate joke. So grab me later and I'll tell it to you outside the pulpit. Well, it's not bad. It's just not. It has something to do with people with bow legs. So we'll just leave it alone with that. So we might tell someone, look at that. Look at that. But when we say, behold, that has a whole different import to it. You don't say, oh, behold, an ant. You say, look, there's an ant. But you say, behold the Grand Canyon. Behold the wonder of a sunset. Behold a newborn child. Behold. Well, that's different weight. The word comes from Middle English, and it literally means to keep. It has come to mean to perceive through sight or apprehension, to gaze upon or to observe. And today what we have heard from the scripture calls us to behold, to apprehend, to keep a new glory. The glory of who we are when we are in relationship with God. Let me explain. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What the apostles asked Jesus to do for them is really what every one of us as Christians, as Christ followers, should desire. To increase in faith, to grow in the life in God. Jesus tells them that faith that is the size of a grain of mustard seed can do great things. A mustard seed is tiny. What's his point? Well, this faith, like the mustard seed, grows from the ordinariness of life. It doesn't have to be huge to make a difference. Augustine preached to his congregation in Hippo Regis there in North Africa these words. He said, a mustard seed looks small. Nothing is less noteworthy to the sight, but nothing is stronger to the taste. Just recently, I was leading that tour group to Britain. And one of the things that is one of the great saviors of certain amounts of British food is Coleman's mustard. It's strong. There is another reason to like Coleman's mustard, I've discovered. They were Congregationalists from Norwich. So interestingly enough, nothing's stronger than the taste, he says. He says, now, what does this signify but the very great fervor and inner strength of faith in the church? So a little mustard seed goes a long way. And for that matter, thinking of small but mighty, a habanero pepper is tiny, but it will take your head off. So powerful is its spiciness. Our faith then is, or at least should be, looking for, expecting, longing for God's presence within us and within one another. The ordinariness of faith tells us that it is not in blinding flashes of light or wondrous happenings that God is found. Rather, it is when we look to the simple, to the beautiful, to the good, that we see God. I'm convinced that we see, experience, and know God best in relationships, which make up the ordinary stuff of what it means to be human. And I'm also convinced that our faith is increased because of our relationships. Perhaps that's why the writer to Timothy reminds him of his wonderful history of faith. He encourages Timothy to rekindle the gift of God that is within him, the mustard seed, there because of his relationships to his family, to his friends, and to other models of faith. I came across an illustration by Ralph Milton that brought this home to me. He said that his family had visited the giant redwoods on vacation one year, and they marveled at their size and their age, wondering how they had survived that long. Why hadn't the strong winds blowing off the Pacific Ocean knocked down the trees? Milton saw a sign in the park that gave him his answer. Giant redwoods seldom grow alone. Their shallow root systems spread out and intertwine with the roots of other giant redwoods, and in that way, they support one another. That's why giant redwoods always grow in clusters. They need each other for mutual support. Our faith doesn't grow in isolation either. To increase our faith, we need each other. And we need to live toward God and toward each other. As we grow together, our faith deepens, encouraging others to grow and supporting them just as they support us. When I open my eyes, especially the eyes of my heart, to see God at work there, I am able to behold a new glory. It is a measure of God's care for us, that God wants to reach to us through things that we know and things with which we are familiar. Human words, human ideas, and the stuff of everyday nourishment like the bread and the cup become the means through which God draws us into deeper oneness, into communion, into relationship. It's so simple. A table, some bread, and a cup. But it's one of the central symbols and metaphors for our life together as Christians. We are people who are fed and who feed one another. Nourishment and relationship and faith all go together. Simple acts, simple objects that carry far deeper meaning and bring us to experience a new glory. The glory of God within us. And the glory of God within the world around us. It's a powerful thing. I was reminded of this when I read an article quoting Donald Bailey, the Scottish theologian, who wrote a book, The Theology of the Sacrament, some 50 years ago. And so I went and I pulled the book off my shelf. Yes, oddly enough, I do own it. And I found the fullness of the quote. And so I want to share it with you this morning. He said, let us imagine the case of a small child, a little boy, entrusted to the care of a nursery governess. When she arrives, the little fellow is taken into the room where she is and left in her care. But she's strange to him. He does not trust her, but looks distantly as this strange woman from the opposite corner of the room. She knows that she cannot do anything with him until she has won his confidence. She knows she has to win it. The little boy cannot manufacture that confidence, cannot make himself trust the governess. His faith in her is something which he cannot create. Only she can create it. And she knows that she cannot create it by forcing it. She has to respect the personality of the child, and to try to take the citadel by storm would be worse than useless and would produce fear and distrust instead of confidence. She sets about her task gently, using various means, words, gestures and smiles, and perhaps little gifts, all of which convey something of the kindness of her heart. Until at last the little fellow's mistrust is melted away. She has won his confidence, and of his own free will, he responds to her advances and crosses the floor to sit on her knee. Now that her graciousness, using all these means, has created his faith, she can carry on the good work she has begun. This is a powerful reminder that faith isn't a matter of our understanding. It's not something that we create for ourselves, but rather it is God's creative gift to us. And I think now I also understand why Edward Taylor, the 17th century New England preacher who wrote this glorious mystical poetry to prepare himself for communion, said, "Delight in this, O my soul, it is the Lord's sugar cake for thee." It's God saying, stick with me here. I am with you. I am for you. Trust me. Every time we look at the book of nature, or that we open the book of Scripture, or we take the simple gifts of bread and cup, we're experiencing God's creation of our faith, and we're receiving the answer to our request. Increase our faith. What is required of us is to move beyond the focus on ourselves and on our limited understanding, and to open ourselves to the unlimited power of God, to behold a new glory. Realize that life and faith are gifts to be received and for which we are to be grateful, and will come to them and to this table in new ways, with new eyes, and the gift of God rekindled within us, delighting in what God offers. And then we will delight in life itself and delight in those around us. And we'll realize that all the time there has been this glory that's there. If only we had eyes to behold it. To behold, to apprehend this glory is within us. We have to know that. Perhaps to remember that it's there so that it can actually work. Kenneth Pargament, who is a Christian psychotherapist, wrote a little book entitled The Psychology of Religion and Coping, in which he told this story that I think makes the point that we have to access the resources we have to behold God's new glory. This is what he wrote. He said, "I remember one client who described himself as a wimp. A mid-level bank manager, he felt pushed around, bullied, and generally ineffectual. In talking about his life, about his job, his eyes became glassy. His voice turned to a monotone, and his shoulders drooped." Have we ever encountered people like that? They start talking about their job, it's like, can they kind of turn into Eeyore right in front of you? You know? Oh, my. Kind of have to go through life. So I found myself, he said, the therapist says, "I found myself feeling very tired in therapy. In search of some spark in his life, I shifted the focus to his earlier years and discovered that he had put himself through school by working two jobs. He had been on the boxing team in college, and he flew airplanes on the weekend. Hardly the behavior of a wimp. When he talked about flying, he fairly crackled with energy. He seemed surprised when I commented on the difference between his style at work and his style behind the controls of an airplane. The key moment in therapy came when he recognized that his problem was not a chronically wimpy personality, but a failure to identify and tap into his resources. He pinpointed the solution when he said, 'I guess I need to fly at work, huh?' My client illustrated an important point. People cannot cope with tools they do not believe they have." Let me say that again. People cannot cope with tools they do not believe they have. If we do not behold the glory within us, if we do not believe that the grain of faith is already there, if we do not believe that God is already for us, we can't use that to grow. We can't use it to make things happen in our lives that we want to happen. We can't use it in our lives to make a difference in the world in which we live, yet that is what we are called to do. So to behold a new glory is to come to a new understanding of who I am and of whose I am, and to understand that it's already there. God reaches to us to increase our faith, seed-like though it may be, so that we might behold this new glory of relationship, of communion with God and communion with one another. It's all grace. It's all gift. It's all love. And it's all ours. That's the point I want you to take away. It's all ours. God says, this is for you. So come to this table today with eyes wide open and see more than a little cube of bread and a little glass of juice, because there's more here on this table than what you see. See yourself. See this community of faith. See the wonder of how we can live and move and be in God's presence. Come with joy. Delight yourself in this and leave this place to find God and point others to God in the world around them. Help them behold a new glory because you have. Come to this table, behold a new glory, and increase your faith. As Edward Taylor said, delight in this. It is the Lord's sugar cake for thee. Amen.